John Batchelor with Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. This is the King Charles Report. And heretofore, our task has been to celebrate the hardworking King Charles as he begins his tour of the Commonwealth and works every day in order to fulfill his duties as sovereign at the same time to inspire the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth that they have a center and is connected to history. Now that we have the history of health challenges in the royal family in a way that is transparent. I'm told, I'm reading about this, George VI's illness was not shared with the public, and therefore his passing was a blow, was a shock to everyone. Whereas the king, taking advantage of modern medical science, is making it very clear that he will heal in front of the public. That's part of Charles's hardworking nature. How is the news received in Australia? You've been there for several weeks now. Did it come as a blow?
Absolutely. At first it was thought, well, this is a routine prostate situation for an older gentleman. Now it's emerged that it's something is more serious. They discovered cancer, which we don't know the full nature of it at this stage. So that's something of concern. I think we start to see questions arising about the king's health, and there is great support for him as a not only as the king but as a man, and the king has by his actions inspired many tens of thousands of Britons to call for a medical checkup of their own. Many British men have, as a result of this, gone in for checkups, and this is going to save many lives in Britain and probably around the world, as people realize that this is a possible threat to older men, and they'll take necessary precautions. The questions of a more immediate nature: what happens within the royal family? Is this going to be the first signs of a makeup with Prince Harry, for example, who's been disaffected and living in the United States? And it could be he's returned home to visit his father, and that may provide a way out for him to return home, presumably without his wife. So that's one thing. The question, though, arises as to what happens to the king's schedule for this coming year. He was due to participate for the first time as head of the Commonwealth at the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting in Samoa in October. Will that go ahead? It's quite probable that it will if the treatment is successful. And that subsequently also begs the question, will he make his visits to his kingdoms in New Zealand and Australia, also scheduled for October this year? So there are interesting aspects to this which have real political ramifications. It comes at a time when, yes, the Prince of Wales, Prince William, is certainly in a position and ready to assume his duties as monarch, should that be required. I don't believe it will be required for some time. But, of course, Prince William himself is now concerned with the medical support going to his wife, the Princess of Wales, Catherine, who has a less known, if you like, medical prognosis, because we don't know what the nature of her abdominal surgery was. But so there are concerns within the royal family. There are changes. The king is coming out of this very strongly. He emerged from hospital, undertook public duties, is known to be working day and night on looking after his affairs with the government itself, and yet he's going back, of course, and getting the start of treatment, presumably radiation, as he progresses in his fight against his cancer.
I wanted to ask about the king's duties, because there are photographs of him sitting at his desk, reaching for a box or a book. What is he signing all day long? Is that something that is routine, documents passed to him from the parliament? I'm just fascinated. It clearly, they need the signature on all those documents. Could they be anything? Or is there just a ceremony attached to the king blessing major concerns?
Well, it's just the same. In fact, it is very identical to the process in the United States, where Congress passes laws, but they do not come into effect until they are signed by the president. And in the United Kingdom, and in the Commonwealth countries where the monarch is represented, legislation does not become law until the royal signature is affixed. The case of Australia and New Zealand, the governors general would undertake that. But
so that signature,
so the king has
that signature is vital. That's an affair of state. He must sign.
Correct.
And
there are many other documents, because the role of the monarch in Britain, which is slightly different than some of the other Commonwealth countries, is to be informed and to advise. So he has a great role in ensuring that legislation and government actions comply with the Constitution. So the king's role is very critical in moderating legislation and action.
Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs, traveling in Melbourne. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.